Psalm 12. Having a good old moan. Nothing wrong in that. Nothing wrong in that necessarily. A good number of the Psalms are having a good old moan. And it's almost like he'd read Hello Magazine 1000 BC edition and put it down and said, "Oh Lord, have mercy." You know? So David is distinctly down in the mouth. Psalm 12. "Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, 'We will triumph with our tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master?' Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified 7 times. O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men." Are you tired of being lied to? Are you tired of being sold fake dreams? Are you tired of that? What is it in modern society that annoys you? Okay, you're sitting looking at me, sort of, "Ugh." I'll tell you what. Why don't you just have a good old moan to the people round about you? Tell them to turn to the people round about you, find somebody near to you, and tell each other what it is in modern society that gets your goat, that really annoys you. Go on, have a good moan. We don't mind. We're good on this. You have a good moan. Okay, guys, do you feel better for that? Can I just ask? Do you feel better for a little moan? Yeah, you do. Some of you don't feel better for the moan. Some of you feel kind of strangely, warmly liberated. It's interesting. One of my favourite theological articles was in a theological magazine by one of the top British theologians, a guy called Chris Wright. And I've often referred to it because it has the best title of any theological article I've ever read in my life. And certainly better than anyone I've ever written. And it says this. It asks the question, what do miserable Christians sing? What do miserable Christians sing? Yeah? I thought it was fantastic because, you know, there's this modern trend, isn't there? You've got to come to church and be happy. But actually, you might come to church and be thoroughly miserable and have a good reason to be thoroughly miserable. Or you might come to church and not have a reason to be miserable and you're still miserable. All right? And the Bible doesn't say if you're miserable, don't go to church. It doesn't say that. Jesus didn't say, "Come unto me, all ye who are happy, clappy and thrilled with life and bubbling along and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed." He didn't say that. "Come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden." But we only give people a chance to sing happy songs. Well, in Penracht, we do try to have a spread of songs there's something in that service you can tap into. A lot of the psalms are written for people who are miserable, by people who are miserable. They're called lamentations. And God inspired them. God put them in the Bible for a purpose. And though they're not commonly preached on, you know me well enough to know that I often do preach on them. Hardly a year goes by I don't dive into at least one biblical lamentation. Because they're important. It's important to be honest with God. This psalm we're reading is 3,000 years old. But as I said, you know, it's almost like he just read Hello Magazine 1000 BC edition. We'll unpack that in a minute. Lamentations are what miserable Christians sing, but they're sweeping statements that are true enough, but even as you say them, you realize they're not 100% true. There's another side to the argument. You say it like you feel, and typically in biblical laments, the poet, because this is poetry, I mean, you should read it as poetry, the poet makes a global complaint, but then humbly corrects himself and says, yeah, but there's another side to this. So I kind of divided, I mean, you can divide this psalm in a number of different ways. I've divided it into four questions. What's the point? What's the word on the street? What's the solution? And what's the truth? And as I was preparing it, I was doing some research because a week ago I used a Banksy graffiti in the morning service. Banksy, if you don't know, is a graffiti artist, a street graffiti artist, whose works, one of his works was actually chiselled out of the wall and gone on auction for £1 million in New York. It seems strange, but there you go. He's a poet, he's a street artist, he's a protester. He did a wonderful series on the great wall in between that hems in the security wall that hems in the Palestinians. He went and painted these quite radical graffiti on them. And as I was reading it, as I was looking at all these different cards and thinking, you know, in many ways, Banksy is like the writers of the Lamentations. Very similar, but there's one major difference, which we'll come to in a minute. But a lot of what the psalmist complains about, Banksy complains about in his humorous graffiti. So I've kind of combined the two, but there's something in the Bible that you will not find in Banksy, and we'll come to that in a minute. So we begin by point number, what's the point then? Verse one, what's the point? And this is one of Banksy's graffitis. If graffiti changed anything, it would be illegal. And, you know, the psalmist would write, if Lamentations changed anything, the king would have forbidden them by now. You know, or it would have been illegal. Or it would have, the army would have suppressed it. What's the point? Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. As he's looking around, doesn't anybody believe in true values anymore? Doesn't anybody believe in things that have a purpose and a decency? Is there nobody left here who follows God? Is there nobody left who's faithful? Faithful and loyal to whom? Well, in this case, it's God, isn't it? Perhaps first and foremost. There's that wonderful or chilling instance when Elijah the prophet gets into deep depression, runs away, and is alone with God. And God meets him and says, what's the problem, Elijah? And Elijah says, God, I'm the only one left. There's just nobody in this land who's faithful to you. And God says, it's not true, Elijah. There are 7,000 in this land who are faithful to me. Which sounds good until you think that maybe the population of Israel was 1 million. So what about the other 900 odd thousands? Well, they're all worshipping all kinds of gods. God, the true God, their creator God, kind of one among many. They worship all the pagan gods as well. So only a little handful of people in the nation left who are faithful to the one true God in that time. A recent survey showed that Wales is, of all the regions, of all the areas in the United Kingdom, Wales is the least religious. See, we're top of something, guys. Yeah? It's not just in rugby. We're the champions. We're also the champions in lack of religion. We're champions in faithlessness in Wales. I kind of console myself that it's kind of skewed by a lot of people in the South Wales valleys who apparently have no religion, and that kind of, maybe it's not quite as bad in the north, but living here and thinking, I'm not so sure, you know? We are also top of the charts in social deprivation, all kinds of things. The two kind of go together, don't they? And no faithfulness among friends either. People are falling out all the time. And David looks around and he says, people aren't loyal to God, they aren't loyal to each other. I just want some faithful friends around me. I want a faithful God around me. But the world I live in, God, you know, how do you put up with this? Because I am fed up with it. What's the point? What's the point? So few people left. What's the point? The second question, what's the word on the street? And the word on the street is not great. This is Banksy's take on the word on the street. If you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes politics. We're in the midst of an untruthful society. It isn't just politicians who lie at election time. Of course, we all believe it when they promise that their party, if elected, will never put up student fees. It could be any party. They're all the same. And people lie. I'm staggered, you know, by... I'm having a good old lament this time. I'm having a good old moan, aren't I? People lie on their CVs. Now, I've done loads of CVs. I've never lied on one. It never occurred to me to lie on a CV. Why should I lie on a CV? I'm a genius, you know? Well, I don't put that on the CV. That would be a lie if I put that on the CV, wouldn't it? But it's just the number of times people are caught out with fake CVs. And yet, it's the done thing now. Apparently, everyone does it. You know, I found a website by accident. I was researching something. I found a website by accident that told me it would write my university essay for me. You know, and it gave me the fees, all, you know, £20 for this size, £50 for that size, £100 for that size, guaranteed in 3 days, on any subject, by an Oxford or Cambridge undergraduate, and beautifully designed website, and all the price tags there for everything, and guaranteed that the university software would never pick it up as being faked, believe it if you will, but. So it's great, you know, you can stay in bed till 2 o'clock and just, order your essay 3 days' time, hand it into the tutor. You know, you never need to sober up, do you? Never need to sober up. Lies. Everyone lies to his neighbour. Their flattering lips speak deception. They're deceivers. They believe lies. They preach lies. And, it's just not great, is it? And if you don't believe me, watch the Jeremy Kyle show. I watch it when I'm in the gym, I hasten to add, it's on the screen in front of me. But, yeah. So what's the word on the street? The word on the street is lies, you know? So then we move on, well, what's the solution? What's the solution? May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, we will triumph with our own tongues, we own our lips, who is our master. And he's feeling manipulated. He feels that there are people manipulating the headlines. And I found another bank. See, I don't believe in global warming. And it's painted above a very large puddle. But manipulated, you know, all these newspapers saying that global warming is not a nonsense, and it's not. You find it's all being promoted by politicians who are being paid by the big oil companies. You begin to find all these tie-ups behind the scenes. What's the solution? You know, people are lying. And people are lying to themselves and being dominated by lies in the media. And you don't know who's behind the lies until some other journalist reveals it. And then you think, well, that's why this particular corporation is putting out this line. I mean, careful not to name any one particular one there, because it can happen anywhere. And there are people who are self-publicists. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, we will triumph with our own tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master? So we go on to the next slide, which is all about self-promotion. And here we have a very rich woman who added to her portfolio by putting out an album in which she was singing. And Banksy's take was, every CD you buy puts me even further out of your league. This is Hello Magazine, you know, where everything is presented. These are the celebrities that being promoted. They've been promoted in David's day. They were self-promoting. They're people who are manipulating everything, the media, for their own attention. It's all flattery, all boasting, all self-confidence. And whether they're artists, whether they're politicians, or whether they're just celebrities who are useless to everything except they're celebrities. So there they are. What's their living? They are celebrities. That's what they do for a living. They can't write. They can't sing. They can't do anything. They are just celebrities. So they sell their image to the newspapers and they have their photos taken by the paparazzi all the time, and they give us their stupid, puerile opinions on things they know nothing about, because they are celebrities. It's all they do. It's all they can do. They can't do anything else but be a celebrity. And, you know, it's David is kind of seeing this. It's strange that he's seeing this in 1000 BC. He's seen these people who put out a self-image that wins them a fortune, that wins them a claim and applause from the people. And he's sick to death of it. He said, these people, they are not worth the adulation that they get. They're just not worth it. So he goes on to verse 5. What's the solution? Is there another Banksy? The take on the L'Oreal advert. This little rat has drawn a picture. He says, because I'm worthless. The oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy. That's what Banksy is seeing. That's what David is seeing. That's what God is seeing. The global companies plundering the earth. I'm not paying tax. Just this afternoon, I just had a quick look at the newspapers when they're on Cadbury's. Cadbury's an organization founded by a Quaker family. A company that was based on Christian principles. And it was sold to the Americans a few years back. But before it was sold to the Americans, it had found ways to avoid paying tax. It was earning a profit of £100 million a year and paying £6 million a year tax. It's 6% tax. I'd quite like my income tax to come down to 6%. And this is a company that was Christian. It's now sold. I don't know how much tax the present company earns. Though I did see that Starbucks is going to pay tax this year for the first time in 5 years. Apparently it's the first time it's made a profit in Britain. Who's paying is the poor. The poor are paying their taxes. The working man is paying his tax. The working woman is paying her tax. You're paying your taxes. You're retired and you're still paying taxes. But the rich, or they find ways to avoid it. We are subsidizing the rich. And even when the companies admit they have the tax debt, the government forgives it. £6 billion, one company forgiving their tax. And yet cut the benefits by £6 billion to compensate. Who's paying? Who's keeping the company afloat? It's you and me, my friends. And the psalmist is talking about the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy. He's seeing it 3,000 years ago. 250,000 people on the streets of Brazil today asking why is it that they can afford huge £500 million stadiums that are going to be empty for eternity after the World Cup, and they can't, there's no way in a hospital to take their little child who's ill. It's a good question. And the Banksy, of course, you know, he has a lot to say on this. And the next one is, follow your dreams. And some poor bloke has sticked a post across it, cancelled. Cancelled. The poor and the needy have their dreams cancelled. So what's the truth? What's the truth? Let's finish the psalm with what's the truth. And here it gets interesting. Banksy, when it comes down to it, doesn't actually have any solutions. So he draws a picture of a little boy who's a graffiti artist with a little halo above him, and it's a little caption that says, "Forgive us our trespasses. I'm very sorry for painting on your wall. That's all I can do. Just apologize. I've had my say, I've had my moan, but it's not going to change anything. If graffiti changed anything, it would be illegal." And actually, it is illegal, come to think of it. Maybe I've missed the point on that one. Probably have. The psalmist knows he's gone a bit too far. The psalmist, in the Lamentations, the psalmist always knows he's gone a bit too far. Because the truth is that God stands by the poor. God stands by the poor. In fact, in most parts of the world, it's the poor who are the followers of God. It's the poor who are the Christians. I was once asked by somebody I was on furlough, and this guy had done his homework, bless him. And I come back from Brazil for a few months, and he said, "I suppose you spend most of your time, and the church spends most of its time standing in solidarity with the poor." I said, "Well, not really, because the church is the poor. It's the poor people who are believing and following on the whole. They're not standing with the poor. They are the poor. But God is standing with them. The words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified 7 times. O Lord," says the psalmist, "O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honoured among men." Isn't that an indictment of our modern media? Is it? Is it not? What is vile is honoured among men. What sells magazines, what sells is actually stuff that's vile to God. What has massive internet hits, what are the billion-dollar industries? Often it's stuff that is vile, but it's honoured by men. Notice how modern media often inverts God's values. It's never been any different. 3,000 years ago, the same thing's happening, and he's fed up with it. Slippery manipulation. Empty tokens. But God's word stands. So we finish with the conclusion, the final cartoon, which isn't a Banksy, it's by a Christian cartoonist. "God, I need a friend," it says, and a voice comes out of the dark. "Start here. Start here. I'm your friend." In our modern society, if you want to get ahead, you need to promote yourself. You need to drink a lot, be photographed nude, have a high profile sexual affair, tell plenty of lies and the media will love you. Oh, the public love a character. And all you need to do is cover it all up by saying, well, I'm not proud of what I did. That's all you need to say. I'm not proud of it. You can do what you like. As long as you say, well, I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it. Oh, that's okay then. As long as you're not proud of it, that's fine. Doesn't matter how many people you've hurt, how many lies you've told. How do you survive as a believer in a world like this? You survive because you make God your friend. And that's what the psalmist is saying. God will arise. In the end, God will win. But the psalmist gives the answers that Banksy, bless him, has not yet found. That there is a God that you discover when you're in the midst of that. The falsehood of the world and the truth of God stand out in sharp contrast. And you know in your heart which one you're going to follow. It's a good moan, but it leads him back to God, and that's where a good moan should lead you, back to the Lord.